Well, my dear friends in Christ, not being able to breathe is without question one of the most agonizing and traumatic experiences one could ever think of. I remember when I was a child, I suffered greatly from asthma, and I had several asthma attacks, and many of them in the middle of the night. And it seemed like a long time ago, but it certainly was like a nightmare, not being able to breathe. But we can all imagine how Eric Garner and George Floyd felt in the final moments of their lives while they were strangled and suffocated by rogue police officers who ignored their last words. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Those words have been replaying in my mind over these past 3 weeks. And it seems like a horror story. Every time I see that image on TV of the police officer with his knee on the neck of George Floyd, I have to turn it off. I can't take that anymore. And so these words have been replaying in most of our minds, and they have been embedded in the consciousness of this nation and have sparked nationwide rallying with a cry, with a plea for justice, to demand more police accountability in the deaths of unarmed, specifically unarmed black men. And there was another one on Friday night as well. Today my heart is heavy, and I am worried about this country, this nation that we live in, called the United States of America. My heart is lamenting, as was Jeremiah, who was called the crying prophet, the lamenting prophet, as he lamented over the sins of Israel. And as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, he did so with a heavy heart, crying out, pleading to God for mercy. You see, our peaceful neighborhoods and thriving cities have become battlegrounds. They've become war zones. They've become areas of conflict that we do not like. We're now, I believe, at the beginning of what could be a civil war. We are now, at the beginning of that. If God does not intervene, we are going to destroy ourselves as Americans. And that is very sad, knowing that men and women have given their lives for this country. And so today, I want us to think about God's Word and how He desires to minister to us. And as I read this passage here in John chapter 20, I see that in verse 22, that after Jesus had spoken with his disciples in the upper room, he said to them, and he told them, he breathed on them, and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." A month ago, COVID-19 was the newsmaker, and it's on the back burner now, unfortunately. I've been asking the Lord for a word from Him for today, for my heart and for your heart, that we can take with us, that will comfort us, that will strengthen us, that will encourage us in these very dark and troubling times. And so, in John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22, I want you to remember this morning, from this passage, that Jesus breathes when we can't. Jesus breathes when we can. Now, I want you to think about that this morning. I want you to allow that to rest in your mind and your heart. John chapter 20, 19 to 22, we find the disciples of Jesus assembled and huddled behind closed doors in fear of the Jews. They were fearful that the Jews were going to come and get them, and maybe even kill them. They both had teamed up to get rid of Jesus, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They hated him. Jesus was a symbol of one who was against the Roman Empire at that time. He was against the establishment, if you will. And they didn't care whether they hated one another or not, but they were united in this fact that they hated the Son of God. And they wanted to see him crucified. So the disciples feared for their lives because they wondered if the Roman authorities would come after them like they went after Jesus. And at this point, Christ had been crucified and buried, and the disciples were there in the upper room. They were under lockdown. They were under quarantine. They could hardly breathe because of the fear that was in their hearts. It was captivating them. It was getting them down. But it was in this very painful state of mind that Jesus came and he showed up. He came upon them. It was in this very painful state of mind that Jesus appeared and he said to them, "Peace, be still." Let me ask, have you ever been in a state of fear? Have you ever been locked down, not knowing where to turn, what to do, where to go? Have you ever been in a situation where you were at wit's end, where you wouldn't even want to share the burden of your heart with another person, and you had no place to go? Well, that's when Jesus wants to show up. That's when he desires to show up. That's when he wants you, as a person, to unleash your load of cares, your fears, whatever they might be, upon him. He shows up. And Jesus did that right here where these disciples were gathered in the upper room before Pentecost. And they were happy, yet they were still terrified when he did show up. Dead people just don't show up like that. That was an interesting thought as I was reading this passage. Obviously, they forgot Jesus' words. The words that Jesus spoke before that, when he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." And of course, he was referring to the resurrection. He was referring to the establishment of his heavenly kingdom. Now, they thought he was talking about a church building, a temple, something that was physical, something that was made with human hands. But he was speaking prophetically about his death, about his burial, and about his resurrection. Dr. John MacArthur, he said about this passage that the Lord that day gave them free, listen to this, gave them free respiratory therapy. I have a cousin over in New Hampshire who is a respiratory therapist, and he's been right snap dab in the middle of this COVID-19, saving people left and right, saving their lives. But here, Jesus shows up, and he gives them breath. He gives them respiratory therapy. That treatment was contained in the one word that he spoke to them in this passage of Scripture, and it was the word peace. Peace. He shows up and he says to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, John says, he breathed on them. He breathed on them. And he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." What an amazing statement that's so relevant for the times that we're in. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God without spot or blemish, is a peace producer. And he is a peace provider. And he says to us today, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." It was that bidding of peace that calmed down this room full of despondent disciples. And how despondent they were. They needed that peace desperately during that time. They could not breathe emotionally. It was affecting them physically as well. It wasn't the first time, as I'm reminded of, when Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat and the disciples were in that boat and a big storm came and the winds began to howl and the waves came over the ship and the disciples were in fear of drowning in the Sea of Galilee. They were afraid of losing their lives. But they ran to Jesus, who was asleep. And they woke him up. And when Jesus got up, all he had to say was this: "Peace, be still." And when he said those words, the howling winds began to calm down. The high waves settled down. And they stopped all the ruckus that was going on. But I know this, that if Jesus can calm the raging sea, he can also calm the fears that people have today. He can calm your fears. He can calm my fears. And if you're going through trials and tribulations right now, and I don't know everything about everybody, but if you're going through those trials and tribulations, Jesus is still available this very moment to say, "Peace, be still." If you're burdened down in a corner and can't see a way out, Jesus is still available to say to you this very moment, "Peace, be still." If your back is up against the wall, and you are ready to call it quits and you don't know where to go, Jesus is still available to say, "Peace, be still." If you feel like quitting, Jesus is still available to say, "Peace, be still." If you've had enough of this world and you can't take it anymore, Jesus is still available to say, "Peace, be still." And so as I close today, I want to thank God that 2,000 years later, Jesus is still available. And he's willing to breathe on us. Yes, when we can't breathe, Jesus breathes for us. Jesus breathes with us. And when he does, he gives us four things very quickly. Number one, he fills us. He fills us with his presence. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. The living God lives within us when we trust him. And when he breathes upon us, he gives us that peace and he says, "Be still." Number two, he not only fills you, but he gives you life. The scripture says in John chapter 10, that the thief, who is Satan himself, has come to do nothing but rob and steal. But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly." He gives you life. People need life. People need Jesus. People need the Lord. He fills you. He gives you life. And then He empowers you. We need that empowerment. The Word of God tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That lion is seeking whom he may devour right now in our large cities, in places like Minneapolis, in Los Angeles, in New York, in Boston, in Portland, Maine, and yes, even in Bodenham, Maine. That lion is roaring, and he's ugly, and he's mean, and he's trying to convince the human heart to follow the ways of darkness rather than the ways of light. The roaring of Satan is evident. All the forces of hell itself have been unleashed upon this world right now. But we ain't seen nothing yet. During the time of the great tribulation, which will come, and I'm hoping not to be here. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord when that happens, because the Lord's going to receive me up, and I'm going to be in His presence forever. But that's coming too. The breath of Jesus fills us. He gives His life. He empowers us. And finally, He sends us. He sends us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord has a work for us to do. God is looking for a people to go and share His peace. God is looking for people to go and spread the good news. Jesus breathes when we cannot. And I submit to you that we need to go on lockdown with Him. Go into that upper room and allow the Spirit of God to touch us, that we would call upon Him while He is near. We need to pray 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And that is God's message for this day, today. Jesus breathes when we can't. He wants to evangelize, not vandalize. He wants us to preach the word, to share our testimony. He wants to protect us. He wants to lead us. I am a witness to the fact that He can bring peace to my life, because I have known many days in my life when I did not have that peace, even as a believer. And today I can be sure and beyond a shadow of a doubt declare to the ends of the age that Jesus is my peace, that He has breathed upon me. When you can't breathe, have faith this morning in Jesus Christ, who will show up and will breathe on you. He is the peace giver. He really is. And I hope you know Him today. I hope you know His peace. I hope that you're allowing Him to breathe on you, to breathe in you, to breathe through you in these very, very dark days. Let's pray. Thank You, Lord, again for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You are our peace giver. Thank You, Lord, that You said, peace be still, and that You're breathing on us today, imparting that peace. Help us, Lord, forgive us, and lead us forth into everlasting life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a final song, and it's not in our regular hymn book, but it's a beautiful song called